your daily fix of women's mixed martial arts from the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship. Be in the loop, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your fix in women's MMA with Got You Covered on Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Right now, thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and...
Your co-host, Sarah. See, I never know if you're going to introduce me. I just sit here and stare at you, wondering.
I try to mix it up so you never know which way I'm going to go. So you're like always on your toes.
It's true. I never know.
So, we are moved into our new studio. I haven't been around for a little while.
And we have not had a show for a while. I've missed you.
I've been a little sick and having some health issues that I've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. So, I really haven't been around that much, which has kind of caused a problem with the show a little bit.
Yes, but so it's good to see you again. It's good to have you back and good to be in our new studio. And
So, I take full blame on the fact that there hasn't been that many episodes this month here. So we're going to make up for that because we're going to cover...
A lot.
There's going to be a lot to be covered today. It's also nice to be in here because we're in...
It's 8,000 degrees. it's like the seventh level of hell. Well, I don't know which level of hell is hot.
Which is the hottest level of hell?
I don't know. I've never actually read the entirety of Dante's Inferno. I don't know if you have. So I shouldn't have brought it up because I do not know the levels.
It's like... The first level, kind of like warm Australia kind of situation, and then it just progressively gets hotter, or...
I don't think so, but right now I just know that I keep saying it's like 8,000 degrees here.
Speaking of Australia, talk about a segue.
There you go, nicely segued.
Today we are going to be talking about some changes in the featherweight division.
Yes.
The UFC announced today that they are going to be... stripping Jermaine Duranemi, they have stripped Jermaine Duranemi of her featherweight title, in which she just won from Megan Anderson. From Holly Holm. Sorry about that.
Yes.
And now they're going to have a Chris Cyborg, Megan Anderson featherweight title shot. And that's going to be at?
That's going to be in July at UFC, now I can't think of the number because you just threw me on the spot.
I gotta throw a curveball at you here. I gotta look myself.
I gotta look it up because I don't remember. I should know.
UFC 214.
There we go.
See, I'm here for you.
So July 29th.
Right, and so that's a big fight there, and so we're gonna touch on that to start things off. Originally, when we were first planning this episode, we were going to talk about the Holly Holm Bez Koheya fight as our leadoff, but the stripping of Jermaine Duranemi of her title and the whole situation has really, has changed the landscape of the featherweight division.
Well, the featherweight division, not only in the UFC, but it's also then affected Invicta because Megan Anderson now vacates her title. Cyborg just vacated that title. Megan Anderson stepped into that title. Now she's vacating. And so they have to change their upcoming fight on July 15th. And
so and that's a great, great point. They've changed their main event card because Megan Anderson has signed a multi-fight deal with the UFC, which is, in my opinion, is the right move. I've been campaigning for this for a while. I think if there's anyone that can give Cyborg a shot, or give some competition, it's Megan Anderson. But what has happened is Megan Anderson was supposed to be defending her featherweight title in Invicta, but now they've changed the card up. And who's going to be fighting Invicta now?
Another of your favorite fighters, that would be Tonya Evinger.
I am a big
Tonya Evinger fan. So she's actually moving up in weight class to fight.
I don't know how I feel about her moving up in weight, but to be honest,
Does she have anybody else to fight in her current weight class?
She's kind of cleaned out the division a little bit, but I think it's a smart move because the featherweight division does not have a lot of top-notch fighters. Right now, the division consists of Megan Anderson, Chris Cyborg, and I hate to say this, but it feels like Jermaine Duranamy's just kind of hiding in a corner somewhere. So I think it's a good move for Tonya to move up in weight, even though I think it puts her in a disadvantage. What were we going to say?
Well, I feel like you kind of mixed up your fights there. Because now Cyborg and Megan Anderson have moved over to UFC, so...
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. My whole point is, by Tonya moving up in weight in Invicta, it allows... Tonya's ultimate goal is she wants to fight in the UFC.
Right.
And okay. By her being a bantamweight, they've told her in the past that she's just not an exciting enough fighter. But when you look at the UFC right now and you say there's only Megan Anderson and Chris Cyborg, who fights who, and Jermaine Duranamy's been stripped, and you can't even, it's like, where's Waldo with her?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It puts her in a good place where if she wins and looks impressive in Invicta, could she be the next person to come over to fight the winner of this Megan Anderson Chris Cyborg fight? Because I hate to say this, yes, Jermaine Duranamy has been stripped of her title, and she says that the reason why she doesn't want to fight Chris Cyborg is because she's tested positive for steroids, things like that. I'm sorry, most times I will agree with a fighter and take them for their word. I've never thought I would ever say this, but it feels like Jermaine Duranamy is ducking Chris Cyborg.
It's been a little strange because she fought in February, and now we're in June, and she didn't even, she won, and then she went home, and we didn't hear anything from her whatsoever, even before Chris Cyborg called her out. She said I don't think she ever said anything, but there was the speculation that she'd injured her hand, and maybe that was holding her back, but...
She injured her hand before she fought Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny because I felt this at the fight when she won the title over Holly Holm, which I thought when you go back and you look at it, and I went back and looked at it a couple of different times, that fight could have went either way.
Mm-hmm,
that was a very close fight. But the minute they started asking about her fighting Cyborg, even in the ring, I didn't think she was really that comfortable. After the fight about fighting Cyborg, she seemed tentative.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started talking about that she wants to have her hand looked at and all this. I'm just going to say it. I feel like Jermaine Duranamy was truly ducking Cyborg. I don't think I'll even go as far as to say because she does not want to, she didn't want to fight the number one contender, that even if Megan Anderson was to upset Chris Cyborg and win the title, I would not give her another title shot. And I don't, I think she needs to earn her way back. I think she, and it's kind of crazy to say the woman who is a featherweight champ, former featherweight champion who get her title taken from her, doesn't deserve a title shot. But I'm saying that. She didn't want to fight the number one contender. That knocks her completely out of the picture. And you cannot, and I don't think if Megan Anderson wins, you can't reward her for ducking Chris Cyborg by giving her a fight against Megan Anderson. So I take her completely and totally out of the featherweight division completely.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have to, I think, even if she came back and she fought and she won in spectacular fashion, I still wouldn't give her a title shot. That's my take.
Well, I have two things. First, even when they were talking about a possible rematch between her and Holly Holm, she didn't really comment. She just really disappeared after her fight with Holly Holm. So she didn't.
She hasn't said much of anything.
And here's my question.
I think I'd take Holly at this point. I mean, because
I would take Holly too, and Holly Holm. Who would you take?
I think I'd take Holly at this point. I mean,
and I would take Holly too.
Who would you take?
I think I'd take Holly at this point. I mean,
and I would take Holly too. I question.
It was really close, and now Jermaine just doesn't seem to be doing anything. I don't know.
I do question the heart of, and that's a strong statement to make. But I do question the heart of Jermaine Ranamy right now. I don't give her, even if she goes back to the bantamweight division. I don't reward her with a title shot at the bantamweight division. Jermaine's gonna have to, in my eyes, if I was Dana and I was the matchmakers, Jermaine would have to run off at least 3 wins and show that she's willing to fight, you know, whomever's in front of her before I would ever give her a title shot again. She's the first person that I feel like has been put on an island because she hasn't lost. She won the title, but she's been stripped. But she's been stripped for one of the worst reasons of all, and that is ducking another fighter. That just doesn't sit well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
I do. I mean, it's just, it just seems very, I know I keep saying this, it just seems very odd, and it's odd that she's not really commenting on anything. We just don't hear from her. Like you said, it's like she disappeared after that fight.
It's okay to ignore us, the media. Okay, go ahead and ignore us. But she's ignoring, and she doesn't, Dana, I mean, she's ducking the UFC. She doesn't even want to talk about a Cyborg fight.
Which is crazy because she won and she's ducking the media and the UFC and, you know.
I personally say it's her biggest fight of her career, her biggest payday of her career, and she would rather be stripped than get in the ring and fight for her biggest payday of her life. And, you know, I know she ended up getting a job in her home country. It was either like a policeman or a fireman or something like that, and she's really excited about that. But, I mean, there's a certain level of professionalism that you need to have.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's just done with fighting, then I tip my hat to her and just say, you know, okay, you're done with fighting, but handle things in a professional manner. Go to the UFC.
Make an announcement that you're retiring, at least.
Yes. And you know what? It wouldn't have been a bad story. If she'd have walked up there and said, my goal was to win a title in the UFC, and I've accomplished that. Now I want to concentrate on my family, my friends, and my new career, kind of like Rumble Johnson did.
Mm-hmm.
No one would have fought her for doing that. It would have been like, wow, you know, everyone's disappointed that there won't be a Jermaine Duranamy Chris Cyborg fight, but, you know, it's no one's going to fault her for going after her dream and wanting to be home and spend time with her family.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do that. She avoided everything.
Yeah, and this was just announced today, but so far I haven't heard anything from her. So her title gets stripped and she's still silent.
Did she say anything? I'm looking on ESPN, and ESPN had said that, you know, she said her reasons for not fighting Chris Cyborg has nothing to do with fear.
Okay, but what's the date on that? Is that recent, or?
Let's see, when is this? Let's take a look here.
Yeah, see, that's almost a month old.
Yes, I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I don't know. I just think it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's no longer the champ until she shows back up. I think we've spent enough time talking about her.
Yeah.
She's held that division hostage, especially it hurts because of the fact that there's not enough women's divisions out there as it is. This was a great opportunity for a lot of, for, you know, to put more shine on the women's division, which I think is absolutely amazing. And then the very first featherweight champion disappears and doesn't even want to fight the number one contender. It just looks bad. And I'm very happy that the UFC, and I personally think they did the right thing. Megan Anderson, Chris Cyborg are the best two featherweights in the world. They should fight. I would have loved to see Megan do this fight a year from now, because Megan is still rather early in her career, but I do think she has a shot. She's big enough and she's strong enough to keep Cyborg off of her, which a lot of fighters are not. So that really makes it a very interesting fight. And then over in the Invicta, as we're talking about the fact that Tanya Evinger is stepping into the main event and she's moving up to featherweight, she's fighting a very tough lady. Helena, give me that last name.
Kolesnik.
If you go and look at Helena, am I saying it? What, did I say it wrong?
No, I'm just laughing that you're just avoiding the last name.
Of course. I am Jermaine Duranami, that last name. she's a striker. She's a boxer. She's a tough lady. This is not going to be a cakewalk for Tanya Evinger. I'm really looking forward to seeing how well she does, because I think it's going to make Tanya's a super strong lady as it is. I think this is going to make her even stronger because, you know, she won't have the weight cut. It'll be a much easier camp for her. But if she looks good, I mean, talk about dodging Cyborg. One of the things that I've always given Tanya credit for is while everyone else was not wanting to fight Cyborg, she's openly said numerous times, you know, if they need someone to fight Cyborg, I'll fight her. You know, I don't think Tanya really cares.
Well, Tanya usually says she'll fight anyone. So, and I believe her in this case.
I definitely believe her. And I think it sets up a situation where, you know, I would love to see if she looks good. And I don't think that since Megan's going to be, I'm assuming Megan is being stripped of the title. But if Megan is stripped of the title, then Tanya is their most likely candidate to be. It's, you know, Charmaine Tweet versus Tanya Evinger again, for their featherweight title, or, you know, what do they do? But the UFC needs featherweights, and moving Tanya over to the UFC would be, I think, a smart move and a great fit.
But the UFC does need featherweights. I'm actually interested to watch how this plays out because, I mean, like you said earlier, right now their featherweight division is pretty much Megan and Cyborg. You can't have a division with two fighters. And so obviously they're going to be pulling from Invicta.
Well, we said that before after the Holly Holm fight. And it was going to be Jermaine Duranami and Chris Cyborg. And there was no one else, and it took them forever to even bring Megan over.
Right.
And they didn't bring Megan over until Jermaine was pretty much done.
That's why I'm interested. What are they going to do with this division? It's new, but they don't seem to be doing much with it.
Bud has been moved, but Bud signed with Bellator.
Right.
That would be the third best featherweight, in my opinion. So, and Bellator signed a number of different featherweights, so I don't know what they're going to do about this division.
Yeah, and it affects Invicta as well. I mean, if all of their champions keep vacating the title to go to UFC because...
You know, not over.
No, it's
bad
not.
News. That division is bad news for Invicta because, let's say, the best situation would be if Cyborg goes through Megan Anderson. The best situation would be if Megan Anderson upset Cyborg and then you would have a rematch between Cyborg and Megan. But if Cyborg goes through Megan with ease, and Cyborg has already mentioned she wants another. She wants to get her fights and her contract out the way. So they're going to have to keep going through Invicta and taking Invicta fighters.
Yeah,
Holly has already said she doesn't really want to go back up to featherweight.
Right.
So it just makes more sense that everyone, that they're going to have to go and gobble up featherweights from that division, from Invicta.
It's just interesting. I mean, I don't really have a theory on what's going to happen or what they should do. I'm just going to watch because it seems like they created this division and now they've just sort of left it out there. And so it'll be interesting to watch it. Is it going to succeed? Is it going to die on the vine? What's going to happen?
All right. With that, we're going to go and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that UFC Fight Night 111 that was in Singapore, where we had Holly Holm versus Bej Kohea. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back, and we just finished up talking about the crazy situation in the featherweight world.
The ongoing saga of the featherweight division.
You know, where's Jermaine? Where's the rest of the fighters for that division? But I think the UFC has made the right decision. I personally think that should have been the fight from the beginning. So that's covered. And now we're moving on to...
We're going to talk about UFC Fight Night Singapore. That was 111. And that was Bej Kohea versus Holly Holm. And that was, you know, I am not a morning person. So I only watched Bej Kohea and Holly Holm. I only watched that fight because I did not want to get up at 1 in the morning. We're on the West Coast. And I did not want to get up at 1 in the morning for the early prelims. I just set my alarm so that I could get up and watch Holly and Bej because I'm not a morning person. You, I think, are a morning person.
Yes, no, it was, I got up and I watched the entire card. But, you know, that fight between Holly, you know, going into this, this was a big fight for Holly. Holly had three straight losses where she won the title by spectacular knockout of Ronda Rousey, her very first title defense with Miesha Tate. She was winning the fight. All she had to do is make it to the final bell. She got rear naked choked and choked out and went to sleep in spectacular fashion.
That was heartbreaking.
Yes. Then she turned around and she fought Valentina Shevchenko, and she just looked tight in that fight. And Shevchenko just outworked her, especially in the later rounds. And then, you know, you have the Jermaine Geranimi fight where I thought she put up a really good fight. Unfortunately, I think some of those shots at the end of the, after the bell really had an effect on her and might have changed the momentum of the fight, but she ended up losing an inaugural featherweight title fight against Jermaine Geranimi. So you're looking at three fights and you're saying, if she loses this fight, what the heck does the UFC do with her?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really, you know, I was really concerned for Holly, but then I was looking at this as a situation for Bej Kohea. This was the fight that could get Bej Kohea right back into the thick of things. If she wins and she wins by in a spectacular way. It gets her. She's ranked number 11th. It moves her into the top 10, and she's a fight or two away from getting a title shot. So both fighters had a lot at stake.
There was a lot at stake, and I was rooting for Holly. I really like Holly, but at the same time, I knew that there was so much at stake for both of them that it was hard to not, you know, it was one of those things where you're like, if only I could figure out how they could both win, but that's not going to happen. You know, that's not how it works.
No, it's not.
But it was, yeah, it was hard. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not a morning person, so getting up at 5, those first two rounds almost killed me.
Oh, wow.
I was so tired trying to wake up.
Was it really 5 a.m.?
No, I think it was 6. It was 6.
It was early. I just know it was early.
By the time the main event actually got there, it was closer to 6, maybe 6:30.
And, you know, the situation with this fight, it was actually a very dull fight.
Okay, when the ref actually interrupts you to say, I respect your game plan, but you need to make something happen.
Exactly. That's a situation where you could tell that both fighters seemed like there was a lot on the line, and neither one of them wanted to make a mistake. It was kind of like Tyron Woodley versus Wonder Boy the first two rounds with them. They were both very cautious, and they really didn't want to do, you know, they didn't really, neither one of them really wanted to stick their neck out. And then, and I hate to say this, in Bench Kohea fashion, she goes into the third round and she gets all cocky.
Which I didn't understand, because she basically didn't do anything in the first two rounds. She, you know, like, Holly had more strikes. Did Bedge even land anything?
Yeah, nothing,
one or two things,
one or two,
right?
But I don't understand why she got cocky, and it was just like she started taunting Holly and dropping her hands and waving, come on, come on.
Holly came on.
And Holly hit her with a question mark kick, and I think Bedge was like, the question was, what hit me? Because she hit the ground, and it was kind of funny because when she hit the ground, you knew she was done, and she knew she was done. And it looked like she put her hand up, like, for the referee to, like save me. And then Holly cracked her in the face, and she was done.
Holly was not leaving anything to question.
There was no... Holly was like, no judges for me. No
right.
more. Man, when she nailed... I mean, and Beth just... She just laid on down and went to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it ended interestingly, but it wasn't that interesting of a fight overall.
And, you know, and a lot of the podcasts and a lot of the UFC websites and things and media are saying Holly's back. I don't know if I say Holly's back. Number one, you know, Bedge was number 11 and she won a number of fights, but it wasn't like she beat, you know, Amanda Nunes or Shevchenko or Kat Zingano. You know, she beat someone that she was supposed to beat.
Right. And if, I think it will definitely help her confidence, but if she goes into her next fight looking like she looked in the first two rounds of this fight, that's not going to work with another opponent.
And, you know, the cautiousness is what I thought gave Shevchenko the win against her, because if you remember the fight between Shevchenko and Holly Holm, Shevchenko was very nervous and very tight. But as the fight kept going on, you could see Shevchenko's confidence going up mm-hmm. and up. And once that kind of fear or whatever it was, as her confidence got up, then she was able to loosen up and she started throwing the combinations. And I could see that happening to a lot of fighters that step in a ring with Holly. Holly's going to have to show a little bit more, before I say she's back. It was good to see her get a win. You could tell she was super excited about it. But with this win, what does it do for Holly's career? Where does this put her back in a title contention? What's next?
I'm not sure. I don't think it puts her back in title contention right away. I think it puts her back on the path toward title contention. But, you know, one of Holly's strengths is the way she kind of draws out her opponents. You know, she does use that cautiousness a little bit and kind of draws her opponents out. But it's also that flip side, I think, can be a detriment to her, because if she gets too cautious, then it's not going to work in upcoming fights. She's going to face opponents who are going to come in more relaxed and more confident, or like Shevchenko, become more relaxed and confident as the fight goes on. She's going to have to really work on figuring out how to get that confidence or that be more relaxed earlier in the fight.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that comes from... I think the Miesha Tate fight kind of messed her up a little bit, and it's kind of, hopefully this fight will get her back on track. What I think would be the perfect fight next would be her versus Juliana Pena. And the reason why I say that would be the perfect fight for them next would be Pena's coming off of a loss to Shevchenko. Holly's has a loss to Shevchenko, but now has just beat Bench Gohea. Those two, they fight. Holly's 4, Pena's 3, I think they got Ronda in there as 3, but I don't count Ronda. Ronda does not count.
I can't believe ranking. Ronda's still in there as 3.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
She's disappeared more effectively than Duran to me.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I love Ronda, but I don't even put Ronda in the top 20. And not because she lost, just because she hasn't fought but once in
over
2 years.
Year. Yeah.
So I don't think she's coming back. So I don't really count her as a bantamweight fighter. So Holly versus Juliana Pena, the winner of that gets the winner of Shevchenko versus Amanda Nunes. I think that would be the best situation. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's pretty reasonable.
You're like, what do you think? What am I going to say? Of course that's right. I mean, that's a fight that I think a lot of people would be interested. I think we could put a lot of butts in the seats. So I think that's the perfect fight next.
And if by chance Shevchenko beats Amanda Nunes, then you've got, you know, either one of them gets their chance at redemption.
Right, exactly. So it's... it sets up perfectly for, you know, you can see how this that the next fight would be promoted. So now when we come back, speaking of Shevchenko, we're going to talk about that Amanda Nunes Shevchenko fight. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Right, we're back, and in the first segment we talked about all the changes that went on with the featherweight division and the fact that the UFC stripped Jermaine Duranemi of her featherweight title, and they've created a fight between Chris Cyborg and Megan Anderson for that vacated title. We talked a little bit about Tonya Evinger being the main event for Invicta for the next event that's coming up. And then we talked a little bit more about the fight that just passed this past weekend, which was
Bej Kohea versus Holly Holm.
and the outcome of how with Holly's win, what does this kind of do for her? So we talked about that. Now we're going to talk about the upcoming event that's going to be happening soon, and that is on July 8th. Is it not crazy that July is already here?
Let's not bring it here sooner than it actually is. We still have a couple of weeks, but it's right around the corner.
Well, UFC 213 is going to be, first off, the card is spectacular. Not to mention you got Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko, but you got Yoel Romero versus Whitaker, Robbie Lawler versus Cowboy Cerrone. You got Alistair Overeem. He's going to be fighting in there against Fabricio Werdum. You got Pettis. I mean, this card is stacked. Super excited about this card. But, and this is one of the things that I love about this whole situation of women's mixed martial arts in this show. You have maybe the most stacked card of the year with all the guys that I just mentioned. Former champions, future champions, stars. The main event is Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko. A few years ago, this fight might not even made the undercard. And now it's the main event. That's how far women's mixed martial arts has gone. And they deserve every bit of it.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you see this fight going?
Well, just on paper, because I'm looking at their stats right now. Just on paper, it's really fascinating because they're the same height.
Yes.
They're the same, in theory, the same weight. We'll see how the weigh-in happens. And their record, Amanda Nunes is 14-4. Valentina Shevchenko is 14-2. So they're almost the same person just on paper when you're looking at them. But these are two tough women.
They're very different.
They are very different. Their fighting styles are very different. Now, we've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. If Shevchenko can get out of the first couple of rounds with Amanda Nunes, then I definitely would say Shevchenko.
Okay, I'm going to go back to that first fight. The first time they fought, Amanda Nunes was wearing Shevchenko out those first two rounds. She was taking it to her. But just like you just said, the later in that fight, in the third round, it was Shevchenko. Nunes gassed out, and Shevchenko was on her. There is no doubt in my mind, if this was a championship, that fight was a championship fight, Shevchenko would have won that fight.
Right.
Sorry about that. But the same thing that Ronda found out, the same thing that Miesha Tate found out, Valentina Shevchenko learned, even Kat Zingano learned. There's no one in the business that can handle her the first two rounds. She's a bear.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where can you get to the third round, fourth round with her? And the scary thing is she's aware that her stamina has been an issue. If her stamina has improved, she's going to be tough to deal with. But one of the things, when you look at, but you got to look at her history. Shevchenko took her to the third round, and that fight changed. When I look at the Kat Zingano, once Kat Zingano weathered the storm, Nunes had nothing for Kat Zingano. And Kat Zingano just bust her up and beat her down. The key to beating Amanda Nunes is taking it to the late rounds.
I agree, absolutely. But like you said, getting there is the challenge. You got to make it through 10 minutes of a very tough, very aggressive fighter coming at you.
Now, this is one of the things that I like about Valentina Shevchenko. It's a lot like Holly Holm. She is a very well-established fighter. She has great movement. She has great strikes. She throws lots of combinations. The footwork is going to be the key. unlike Ronda, who Ronda, Bej Kohea, they're kind of go forward kind of fighters. Shevchenko can be cautious enough to use her footwork early to slow down Amanda Nunes and take some steam off of her. No one, and I don't, I mean, and I'm even going to go as far as even adding Cyborg to this. No one hits harder than Amanda Nunes in the women's division and in mixed martial arts. If you can, but, you know, but those, as the fight goes on, the steam kind of comes out, comes down, and then you have a chance. And that's the way, you know, when you look at her four losses, it's kind of been that whole thing where the stamina has been the issue. So looking forward to this fight. Anything else you'd like to add about this one?
Nope. I think we've pretty much covered it. I'm looking forward to it as well. Interested to see how it will play out.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, as a bonus, because we haven't been around a little bit, I wanted to touch on a couple of fights that we didn't really have a chance to really talk about. Mm-hmm. And the one that I want to talk about is that Claudia Gadelha versus Karolina Kovacevic fight. That was at UFC 212. First off, I have said this time after time after time. Only person in that division that I think can ever beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk is Claudia Gadelha. Claudia Gadelha is the best strawweight in the business, and she really, really proved it that night at UFC 212. She was just too much, too strong, and Shevchenko just couldn't match up with her.
Kovacevic.
Kovacevic. Mixing up my fighters here. I mean, she's a buzzsaw. It's just unfortunate. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Joanna Jędrzejczyk moving up to and out of the flyweight division to the featherweight division. Or flyweight division, sorry, flyweight. I get my flyweight and featherweight gets twixted around a little bit. If that happens, if she leaves, I'm telling you this now, I don't care. And that strawweight division is so tough. But I have Claudia Gadelha as that next champion if that was to happen. But if Joanna does not leave that division, she's Miss Congeniality. She's the second best fighter. She was going to clean out a lot of fighters, but what are you going to do with her? She's already lost to Joanna twice. Are you going to give her a third shot, you know, a third shot at this title?
Isn't this the fight that Joanna said, even before her last fight, that she wanted to fight the winner of this fight?
You mixed that up with
now I'm mixing up my fighters.
No, yes, you are. You're mixing up Karate Hottie versus Thug Rose.
Yes, thank you.
And yes, I use their nicknames because their nicknames were awesome. and I'm glad you brought that up because we didn't have a chance to talk about that fight. And it was one of those situations where you look at Karate Hottie and yes, you know, she beat Paige VanZant. But this is where I think the UFC should put in an atom weight division because she's really an atom weight. And Rose was just too big, too strong. And Rose was very focused.
Mm-hmm.
And she took care of Karate Hottie and took her out. And now you have, you know, Rose versus, you know, Joanna Jędrzejczyk next. In which Joanna took care of business in her fight. So, you know, it's really setting up, but it puts Claudia Gadelha out of the picture. I just don't see how you can give her a third fight. It's like she gets to fight, you know, is she going to be able to fight Joanna once a year, every year?
Right. Right. But what else are they going to do? I mean, unless Joanna leaves, and she has said that, you know, she wants to fight for a few more years and then retire and move on with her life, but is Claudia just supposed to hang around and wait for that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think Claudia's in a no man's zone. I think, you know, what the crazy thing is, it could be Claudia that ends up moving up in weight. And if she did move up in weight, I'd make her the best, could be the best fighter in that division.
Mm-hmm. I think she's actually a little bit of a better candidate to move up in weight.
You know, I always say, and when I look at Joanna, I know she wants to move up the division. I think she should just stay in that division and just be the queen of the strawweight division, and she can stay there as long as she wants. If she gets past Rose, which I do think she will, but if she gets past Rose, I think she has clear sailing to put the record for most title defenses by a woman out of range. Mm-hmm. She's already tied Ronda Rousey. This, I think she could just put it so far out of range that it can't be touched.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And with that, is there anything else before we wrap things up for the night?
We've missed so much. We could talk for hours, but I think we'll just, you know, this is a good place to...
This is a great point. This is the point where we need to...
Otherwise, we'll just be going back over, hey, did you watch that fight? That was awesome.
All right. So that concludes our show. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast with Tate and Sarah.
Sarah and Tate.
Or how about Sarah Tate?
Just make it one verb.
Yes. Thank you. And to all, I hope, a good night.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.